Welcome back to the Football Sunday Podcast on rockrivercurrent.com. I am your host, Eric Jordan Gothy, back with you for another week. Alongside me this week and all season long, Matt, and our emergency kicker himself, Jake, to my right. We're all back in studio for week six around the NFL. We've been through 5 weeks so far. We have a lot of stuff to get to. Of course, Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields and the progression he has made so far this year. We're going to talk about their big win against the Raiders on the road. And, of course, this weekend as the team welcomes in the Green Bay Packers for rivalry week in the city of Chicago. So a big week coming up there. We also have a big week in fantasy football. Bye weeks are officially here for week six. We also have a huge injury report. A lot of guys who are listed as out, so make sure you get these guys out of your lineup. We're going to talk about that, some headlines. Also talk about some of our player highlights. Guys, there might be the sort of under-the-radar picks. You might not start in every league because we know the guys you are going to start. The Dalvin Cooks, the Alvin Kamaras, the Zeke Elliotts, when they are healthy, you're going to play them. But maybe some guys are some flex options, guys that you might be in a pinch for either injury or a bye week. You can maybe look for these guys in your waiver wire to start this weekend. But before we get into the headlines, Matt, I have to confront you with something right off the bat, and you were not prepared for this. I have to know, based on your history watching football, have you become a Giants fan recently? I have to know this.
No, I have not.
With all the injuries that happened this past Sunday to that football team, I just had to know if you had any part to do with this. This is an open show. If you want to admit something, go for it.
No, I have no affiliation with those injuries at all, except for Sterling Shepard, who was already hurt beforehand.
And believe me when I tell you this, Giants fans over in New York, huge sigh of relief when they just heard that. Saquon Barkley went down. Kenny Galladay went down. Daniel Jones went down. I mean,
actually,
you name it.
Andrew Thomas, too.
Andrew Thomas as
actually.
Well.
Actually.
Kadarius Toney went down with a punch to opposing team's helmet.
And then Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Me and Matt recently had a discussion about a certain Saquon Barkley where he staked his claim on him this year.
Oh, so evidence now. Oh, my. This is
breaking news.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, the question was, who would you rather start a franchise with right now, Nick Chubb or Saquon Barkley? I said Barkley. Jake said Chubb.
Thank God I picked Nick Chubb in so many leagues. Wow. How about that? He has hurt this year, unfortunately. But still, the question now, that's great evidence you brought to the table now. I don't know if I can believe your statement, Matt. You had anything to do with Barkley being injured again.
Well, Barkley, Andrew Thomas, Sterling Shepard.
Oh, Sterling Shepard. Yeah, you were a Shepard fan when he came out of Oklahoma.
He had Sterling in every league.
Every league for his first 3 years.
And he never played a full year. Still has yet to play a full year in the NFL. I mean, we could talk about the list forever. The Andrew Luck's early retirement. I mean, that's
starting to add up. Leonard Williams on defense.
Johnny Knox way back when.
Jabril Peppers.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess. No. We can just keep going down memory lane. But let's move on to the show.
Yeah, let's deviate from your curse.
Yeah, let's just get away from it right now. Take a quick breather. And let's go back in time to week five. Let's go back a week ago. Let's talk about some of the big games around the NFL. Just some crazy, crazy innings. The first one is the Packers and Bengals in overtime. It just seemed like neither team wanted to win that game at the end. I mean, no one could hit a field goal. Mason Crosby missed three in a row until he hit the game winner, 25-22, the final score in Cincinnati. But just a crazy ending to that football game.
My biggest problem is, again, with coaching in Zach Taylor. Not only did you have enough time to keep consistently moving down the field, when you got to the point where you actually kicked the field goal, you could have at least taken a couple more shots, because not only was Burrow shredding that defense the whole day, you had a lot of time left. You know, it just seemed very bad clock management again by Zach Taylor when they could have potentially moved up 20 more yards and made it easier kick.
And you've said that, you said again, because we have seen it before in the past.
Again, you've seen it every week, essentially.
Is this third year coaching or second year?
Second year.
Second year coaching. So again, young head coach, one of the younger ones in the league, still trying to learn. But again, you got to be able to manage that clock. Cliff Kingsbury, who is 5-0, he's another guy's young coach who does struggle with that. It just seems like that's kind of a
trend.
Don't
get me started on Cliff.
It just seems like that's a trend for some of these younger coaches that just don't know how to understand manage clock.
Yeah, it's because they come from high octane offenses with, you know, just pass. So that means the clock's always stopped. Sure. So they don't know how to do it. I mean, right. We still get the greats. Andy Reid, he has really hard trouble with time management. So it's one of those things.
Right. How about another big game? How about the Vikings and Lions? You might say, Vikings and Lions? That was a boring game. Well, it was until the final 2 minutes, and then all hell broke loose, honestly, in that game. It went crazy. The Vikings hit a game-winning last second field goal to win 19-17. The final score, but just a last second field goal there.
Yeah, it was kind of weird watching two curses essentially work against each other, with the Lions heartbreaking losing and then
great way to put it.
The Vikings kicking curse. Right. So Greg Joseph obviously came in, kicked a nice, you know, field goal to win the game, but man, I don't know how. That was just the most insane ending. There's a lot of things that you should have done, and play better defense was one of them. Obviously, that's easier said than done, but the play calling on the defense when they were marching down to kick the field goal was atrocious. They were just all the way back and didn't expect anything underneath, and that's what Kirk kept doing, was dropping it underneath, get more yards, just kept going. It was just recipe for disaster, and it was just a little bit embarrassing on the coaching side.
Yeah, Thielen didn't do anything that whole game until that last drive, and he was just feasting like 40 yards sure. just on that drive alone.
It was insane because you're watching like all the defenders like 10 yards deep, and they're just like, guys, they're not going to take a shot down deep. You know, let's just play normal. You know, every time you let underneath stuff, that's how they win.
See, as a Vikings fan, I would be a little concerned as a Vikings fan, I'd be a little concerned.
Okay, you were a Vikings fan.
No. As a Vikings fan, because the defense was a big story last year, just how much it struggled. This year, first two games would look to be the same story. They've kind of turned things around, but at the same time, their offense looked amazing the first 2-3 weeks. They've also kind of shifted to where their offense just seems like they can't get anything going at all.
It's just how it is. That whole offense revolves around having Cook. Mm-hmm. And when Cooks go down, you know, it's obviously Alexander Mattison, but no defense is going to respect Alexander Mattison like they do Cook. Yeah. So the whole thing is differently. So when you don't do it, when you stack the box against Cook, it leaves one-on-ones with receivers, so it's easier for the offense to operate, and Kirk looks like a god. Mm-hmm. And then with Madison, you can just hand it off because they're not going to respect it, and then he goes off every game.
Madison's he deserves more respect because he is one of the better backups in the league.
I mean, very much so. He'll get paid a lot of money to another team.
He could start somewhere in the Jets, wherever.
Hey, Michael Carter's been a nice...
Just for example, team Falcons, doesn't matter. Like, he can start for a team.
Listen, Joe Brady obviously unlocked whatever potential Mike Davis had. Bears and Falcons clearly are not. I mean, Mike Davis still getting 10 fantasy points a week, but Cordarrelle Patterson on a 1-year deal is way better.
Sure. How about another crazy game, Matt? How about in the AFC, Chargers and Browns?
You can watch that.
Crazy game that went down to the wire in LA. I mean, talk about just boom, 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 just back and forth battle in the fourth quarter where the Chargers ended up winning the game on the at home, 47-42, the final score. Browns lose another heartbreaking game.
Yeah, crazy high-scoring game, and Brandon Staley proving yet again he is not scared to go for it on fourth down, even if it's in a situation where you would expect it to punt or kick a field goal. He's showing that field goals are not going to win games. The Chargers have not had a good history with field goals, so he's like, screw it, I'm going to keep my potential MVP quarterback out there to win the game.
Yeah, no, the Chargers are becoming, I said this last week, they're just a fun team to watch, just flat out. Their offense is good. Their defense, I know they gave up 42 points, but the defense is still young. There's a lot of young talent on that roster. And the head coach, they're starting to turn things around. But I do like the Chargers moving forward. How about Sunday night, Jake? A big rain, stormy night delay in Kansas City, but the Bills end up coming out on top. Really, they came running out of the gates. 38-20, the final score there.
The defense is pretty good this year after being so lackluster and hyped up last year. Obviously, the defense for the Chiefs is horrid. And I don't even know if this is going to be a whole Spagnuolo thing where they get better. I honestly can't even just justify even talking about them. They take Chris Jones, one of the best interior nose tackles in the league, probably top three, and you move him to right end. And he's absolutely not producing.
He's out of position.
Because that's not where he's strength at.
The Rams tried doing that with Aaron Donald, and yes, it may have worked. He's more dominant on the inside, but it's Aaron Donald. There's so much talent there. Now, you look at, why am I blanking on the guy's name for the Chiefs you just mentioned?
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones, thank you. Chris Jones, you could probably say he's number two in the league at interior pressures. The second best player behind Aaron Donald.
Nope.
Who's number,
Bita.
Okay, that's true. Okay. But you would still put
Chris Jones top three. Yeah,
exactly. So there's still talent there, and it's crazy that they would move him out of position. I get that.
Move him out of position in a year where his contract is coming up again. So it's a little suspicious. Mm-hmm. They'd moved him out of position. He's lacking production. Maybe they're looking for a cheap deal.
Sure.
And put him back. It's a scumbaggy thing, but they did it with Tyreek.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like, they move Chris Jones over and they think they'll be okay because they signed Jerron Reed to be their new nose tackle, and that. It's just not working.
Yeah.
No, you don't take all-pro perennial nose tackle Chris Jones and put him somewhere else. You are there for a reason.
And so, the Chiefs won, are they more 3-4 or are they still 4-3 for the most part?
3-4 for the most part. Okay. Frank Clark, obviously, I saw milk carton with him.
The ghost pretty much out there.
$100 million. He's a
yeah, paid that much.
He's stealing. Daniel Sorensen, the worst player I have ever seen on defense.
I thought that was your guy.
No. Not after he injured my Christian McCaffrey last year. Are you kidding me? Daniel Sorensen, I would rather have Chris Conte than Daniel Sorensen any day. He's literally, like, PFF is whatever, but he's rated the worst cover safety in the league.
And it shows watching the games.
Three safeties on the field on for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? There's literally a compilation of Honey Badger just throwing up his arms because Sorensen's keep missing assignments and just blown plays.
Eventually, why don't you just say, why are you on the field?
Because Juan Thornhill is worse. Yeah.
And he had a good rookie year, too.
And then he got hurt, and then he lost his confidence.
Yep.
And then he got Andy Reid's doghouse.
A big doghouse. He barely on special teams.
Right, and I know a lot of Chiefs fans, we have one here at the station who always texts me after the game, you know, what's going on with the Chiefs, blah, blah. Like, look, they're still the Chiefs. But, yeah, that defense is nowhere near where it should be.
And Pat's playing hero ball, and he can get away with a lot of it, but obviously when Tyreek's not producing except for every other 2 weeks, and you got Pringle out there, and then your second-round pick, Mecole Hardman, drops everything. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, honestly, a bust.
He's hurt now, too.
You can't justify it. I mean,
I think it's a weird dynamic
He hasn't shown that he can be that guy for the offense.
And everyone thought that this is going to fit Andy Reid's offense, or Clyde.
We all thought it was.
Right. I think it's just a weird dynamic because the Chiefs just don't have to rely on the run. I think that's just what hurts. There's no consistency there for him. So I think that does hurt his development.
I don't know if it's that. It's just the fact that he's not really good, to be honest with you. He just came out with the gate really well, and holes close up really, really fast for him. He doesn't have the acceleration, doesn't have the speed to get past everything, you know, in the NFL like he did in college. He might have just been a really good college back. And right now, I know it takes a couple years maybe for backs to get going, but right now, Clyde's kind of just forgotten about.
Yeah.
And this is with a revamped cheap soul line, too.
Yeah, this is with an expensive line.
Right. Now, again, we talked a lot about the Chiefs. We still have to give a lot of credit to the Bills. I mean, they came out with a 100% game plan. They executed it. They played really well. Still one of the better teams this year. We thought going into the season, they would have so many distractions with the whole COVID issue with Beasley and whatnot. Beasley. We thought there'd be a lot of issues. So far, that has been put to bed for the most part.
Yeah, Bills actually made him deactivate his Twitter and all social media because he went after Bills fans.
Yeah, smart decision. Again, you don't want to, obviously, long-term smart decision, but still, the Bills have put their issues to bed for the most part, and they're just rolling. They're just on cruise control. Their offense is amazing. Defense is looking really good. I mean, they're on cruise control.
Yeah, defense has really stepped up a lot, especially with A.J. Epenesa. They made him shred a lot of weight, and now he's just, you know, dominant force like he was in the college. Mm-hmm. Matt Milano, again, very underrated linebacker, but now he's proven, you know, he's really good.
Got a contract extension that raised some eyebrows across the league, and he's earning that money.
Proven it. Obviously, Edmonds still being, 22, 23, still learning, still really good. So, again, that defense has proven a lot that everybody thought they were going to be bad this year. And then, obviously, Josh Allen's playing out of his mind, too. So, again, Bills really probably Super Bowl favorites besides the Bucks.
Are they the AFC favorite currently? I know he just said Super Bowl favorite. Are they the AFC favorite?
Yeah, depending.
The Chiefs, to me, I think it just shows, and that's just because one game, but the Chiefs just, they're not there.
Defense wins championships.
Yeah, they're not at that point. Yeah, they could turn things around, but right now, they're not at that point.
Yeah, and defense wins championships because, like, that's one of the things, like, with the Cardinals is why I'm more, you know, okay with them now is because their defense is ramped up.
Sure. All right, another good game on Monday night, Jake. I know you watched this. Ravens and Colts. Colts really had the game in the bag for the most part. It seemed like that. And the Ravens, guess what? In Lamar Jackson fashion, just came storming back. Lamar Jackson has just looked really good this year. Like we should expect, 31-25, the final score in favor of the Baltimore Ravens. But Mark Andrews, have yourself a day. 41 fantasy points.
Yeah, Very much so. Mark Andrews, God. Obviously, we have to talk about Lamar Jackson setting the only 400-yard passing game with an 85% completion. No one has ever done that, except for Lamar. It's pretty good for a running back.
No, he said, yeah, he's had a great year, but I'll tell you what, he's really pushing for that big contract.
And obviously, he's going to get a max contract. But the thing is, what I would worry about if I was the Colts, is because you just paid, what, Darius?
Darius Leonard, yeah.
All that money. And he's garbage. You want your guy to be able to cover and do all this, but only he's been a distraction off the field because of his COVID beliefs, and now he can't coverage, you know, anything. He's getting stiff-armed into oblivion. He looks scared out there. I honestly don't even know who this Darius Leonard is this year, and it's really embarrassing and really bad for that defense because it's a shock.
He used to be one of the, if not the best linebackers in the league when it came to getting turnovers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to fight you.
Whether it be interceptions or fumble recoveries, he just did it all. That's why he was nicknamed the Maniac, but he's barely getting tackles, and I think he has maybe one pick on the year, and that's it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Colts defense, just team overall, has not looked the same like we're expect to see from the Colts, but I'll tell you what, we have to talk about the offense. Carson Wentz, again, I know we give him a lot of crap on the show, but he had a really good game, over 400 passing yards. He looked really good from the start to finish. But Michael Pittman, to me, that's the headline there. Michael Pittman is looking like a true number one receiver, year two in the NFL. Really didn't do much as a rookie, didn't do much the first game of the year, but he has really came on since week two, and he's just been on a roll, been on a tear. And that Baltimore defense is very good. That secondary is very talented. And he really showed up on Monday night to produce for his quarterback, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he is truly showing the alpha mentality at wide receiver. Like, you're seeing this crazy separation on routes, and then everybody saw the highlight clip of him mossing Ravens yeah, defender.
Very impressive play.
Yeah, he's definitely proving that he is the wide receiver that the Colts want as their number one.
Absolutely. All right, guys, now let's talk about the big game. That is right, Chicago and Vegas as the Bears defeat the Raiders. 29, the final score there. The Bears... Now, they looked a lot better.
Who we thought they were.
Justin Fields went 12 for 20, 111 passing yards, one touchdown pass, his first career touchdown pass to Jake, the third string tight end. Was it J.P. Holtz?
Yes, oh, J.P. Holtz.
J.P. Holtz.
No, it was Horsted.
Horsted.
Oh, it was Horsted.
So it was the fourth tight end.
No, Horsted's the third.
And J.P. Holtz is the fourth?
No, J.P.'s okay. The fullback.
Is he the fullback? Yes. I thought he's more tight end, I thought.
No.
I thought he's about the
no, he's a fullback.
I know, but I see mostly on special teams.
Listen, both of you, you just got it wrong on air. I know my stuff.
So we messed up Holtz for Horsted. I don't feel like that's a common mistake,
hey,
I feel like.
One wears 81 and one wears 84.
Oh, okay. Woo! Three number difference. Woo!
Get it right.
No, I think the big storyline, I mean, the Raiders were without their two starting cornerbacks going into the game. Only 111 passing yards still from this Bears offense. I know their offensive line is bad. I get that. But the Bears are averaging, this so far this year, 113 passing yards a game. You know where that ranks? In a passing league? 32nd, Jake. Dead last.
This better be 33rd, though.
I guess that's true if there was 33 teams. But yeah, they're ranked 32nd of 32. Unfortunately, that's dead last. But Khalil Herbert, how about those other rookie? He was in rookie minicamp. 18 carries. 75 yards in the game. He really showed out as number two back, who looks to be the number one back going into this year because Damian Williams tested positive for COVID. So he is on the IR or COVID list, whatever list you put him on. So again, Khalil Herbert looks to be the number one guy moving forward.
Yeah, and the fact that the Bears were able to get it done with the run so easily with both Herbert and Williams, Herbert getting 18 and Williams 16 carries respectively, like that's a big reason why they don't have a lot of passing yards, not just because of early on in the year with Nagy being a horrible play caller, but they are effectively running the ball, and that's where they're getting their first downs. They're controlling the game, and then the defense is playing good because they're not on the field every other minute. So it's working out for them, and that's how they're getting these wins.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, the Bears obviously were leading in sacks, clearly.
Oh, but yeah. Did you guys know that a little bit?
Do you guys know where they were 20th in pressures?
Really?
Yeah, and we're 22nd in pass rush wins. So we're creating artificial pressure and scheming it up to the fact that we can get sacks. So Sean Desai, again, we have to praise whatever he's doing, and he took whatever Staley did against them and used it himself as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, where you're first in sacks, you're 20th in pressure, that's where that stat kind of fluctuates in terms of sack numbers, but still still pretty good for the Bears defense. I know we're going to get to that, but I still want to talk about Justin Fields just for real quick. I want to get your thoughts. What is Fields' next step in terms of his progression through his rookie season, his third game now in the NFL, third game starting, fourth game overall? And from what we've seen up until now, what's the next step that Justin Fields has to make moving forward?
I think he just has to be more comfortable. And I know that Andy took a lot of the reps with the first team. So getting the chemistry right with Cole, Allen, and Mooney and all of them are obviously pivotal. So, you know, there's still the things there. He holds on the ball a little bit too long, but right now he is leading in percentage in deep ball throws. So, again, that's fine with me. But he needs to do a little bit more progressing and with just seeing stuff develop in, you know, in front of him. But, I mean, he had a pretty good game regardless.
Sure.
So there's not a lot that I can say right now because there hasn't been any glaring big issues other than, you know, hindered by Nagy and our offensive line. But I just want to keep seeing consistent growth, not like that one Tampa Bay game where, like, with Trubisky, and we're like, oh, this is really nice, kind of weird. Why is it happening? Maybe it gets better. It's not kind of like not like that because with Justin, you can see progressively gets better because he understands different things during each week. You know,
he's learning.
He's learning.
Constantly learning stuff,
and he won't stop learning because even when he got named, you know, starting quarterback, he told his parents, go away, I'm watching film. So I think he's just going to continue building off that success and just keep getting better each week in and out.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you look at the connection, him and Mooney really do have a nice connection, which is, I hope that continues with Cole Kmet. I want to get him more involved in the offense as a fan. I would like to see that. But the other question mark, we talked about this before the show, Matt, we got, what's going on with Allen Robinson? It's just, him and Fields just don't have that connection. Robinson has not put up numbers at all from what we normally expect from Robinson. Only when Dalton was quarterback was he actually producing. Since then, him and Fields just have not been on the same page this year.
Yeah, I mean, throughout five games, 17 catches, 180 yards, and one touchdown. Like, those are not numbers we expect from Allen Robinson, who is boasted as a top 15 wide receiver in the league, but mm-hmm. he is not looking like that at all this year, whether it be him not getting targets or him not getting separation on his routes. Don't know that. But the fact is, he's franchise tag right now, and he's still looking for that next big contract. But it's not really helping his case right now.
No, and usually we see this when players are in contract years. This is kind of where they show out. We saw it with Corey Davis last year. We're seeing it with Mike Williams right now this year, currently having that just one heck of a year. Now, you see it with some of these players, but right now in this situation, Allen Robinson's on the pier, just the opposite end of that pole, just really struggling this year. And I hope to get him moving. Hope to get him going soon because this is really unlike Robinson. Because you look at his career, he's played with a lot of bad quarterbacks. I mean, you can just go down the list. Blake Bortles is on there. I mean, you can just keep going down that list. You look at Justin Fields, on paper, he might be one of the more talented quarterbacks he's had on the entire list who's been throwing him the ball, and yet somehow there's just no chemistry, which is really makes me wonder. It's like, well, what else is going on here? Because Justin Fields might be your most talented quarterback you've ever had in your NFL career, and you've been in the league for almost 7 years now. Like, what is going on? That's the question.
Yeah, and it's not really the offensive scheming either, because Bill Lazor, when he was at the Bengals, that was when A.J. Green was still putting up good numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's an offense that can work with one very talented receiver, but it's the numbers just aren't out there.
Right. All right, Jake, I want to switch places here. I want to talk about the defense. Cleo Mack, 8 tackles, 1 sack. The Mack attack was back in Vegas. Well, I guess back against the Raiders, first time in Vegas. And then Gibson, the Bears' third-round pick a year ago, who's had a sack in back-to-back games, just they're getting pressures. Of course, Robert Quinn's in the mix as well, but now there's three guys that have been producing consistently on the edge.
Yeah, and with Gibson, I'm really excited to see how he keeps going because he was a fourth-round pick, you know. So, and with Jeremiah Tachu tearing his pec, he's going to be the second string, so obviously we're going to get a lot more play, and I hope they come in and give breathers to Mac and Quinn so they can keep coming in and disrupting. But yeah, it was a pretty dominant sack happy defense without even Akeem. Mm-hmm. So it was very happy to see that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's what they drafted Gibson as a guy who was, like you said, a day three pick. They want him to come in and be just put that extra pressure in. So like you said, Mac and Quinn can come out of the field and get a breather. Last year he just wasn't ready for the NFL. He showed that he just wasn't ready to play. This year he's starting to show up sacks and back to back games. This is something you continue to build off moving forward. He could be a rising star in this defense. You never know.
It's fine with me. I'm just happy we're getting the pressure.
Absolutely. All right, other quick news and Bear news here. Running back Damian Williams, like I mentioned before, was placed on the COVID list.
So Ryan Khalil, all season.
Yeah. Ryan Nall and Khalil Herbert are supposed to be the top two backs in this backfield. The Bears also restructured pass rusher Robert Quinn's deal to free up $3.5 million in cap space, which is good news for the Bears. See what happens, Robert Quinn, when you start to perform, you get paid.
And it's more than likely to the fact that Ifedi's out and we need tackle help.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. One last game I want to talk about from last Friday, though. Last week, week five, the Titans defeat the Jaguars 37-19. Now, I know it's like, well, Jaguars and Titans, they're not around here. Well, there's actually two local guys playing for that team. James Robinson, the former Lutheran running back, 18 carries, 149 yards, and a touchdown run for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And how about Dan Arnold, the former Boylan tight end, 6 receptions, 64 yards on 8 targets, led the team in targets and receptions for the game. Dan Arnold had himself a coming out party in his second game in Jacksonville.
All I have to say is before we go is Dan Arnold blocked me once
in high school. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know you played against him. Yeah, that was the same year?
Yeah, we played against him.
Was he a big guy then too? Or do you think he grew more into
high school? Dude, I was like 5'8 in high school.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
And he just ran you over?
No. Oh. No. Hey, man. Give me a little bit more credit.
So you can say that you went up against an NFL player.
Yeah.
That's what you can say. I mean, that's a pretty cool opening line if you need.
Well, I went up against the Syracuse guy, too.
Joshua Black?
Yeah.
He's had a nice career up in New York.
What's
there was a tackle, Anthony McKinney from Harlem, you thinking of?
Yes, that's who I was thinking of.
He had a chance to be in the NFL, but because of COVID one night, I don't know if he's on a practice squad somewhere right now, but he went to TCU. No, he went to DCU. But he chose, you know, there's an option where players could opt out of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the players.
Yeah, okay, so. But yeah, it was very good to see. I mean, Dan Arnold literally came in and demanded that tight end spot, and I honestly think it's a phenomenal trade for the Jaguars because mm-hmm. I think I picked him up because I was like, wow, he's out there telling James Robinson where to line up. He's been here for 3 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks.
Think about this. He went to University of Wisconsin-Platteville. I mean, it's a small school college. He was able to just get his foot in the door in New Orleans on the practice squad, learn, develop behind guys. And Sean Payne, of course, helped develop. And then went to Arizona, got some meaningful playing time there as well. And now signed a nice 2-year contract with Carolina in the offseason, got traded. And now he's actually has this not only his foot in the door, but he's starting
playing
meaningful minutes and snaps for NFL teams.
Yeah, because Luke Farrell is water.
Yeah, and he's a rookie too. And I know they have Jacob Hollister, another veteran tight end. Yeah, still, Dan Arnold seems to be the guy moving forward. Another guy we didn't mention, Dean Lauer from the Packers, he actually had a really nice day too on Sunday. I mean, he was constantly in that backfield for Cincinnati, so he did have a nice day.
First game in a while.
Hey, this is a Rockford-supported
yeah, that's channel. Not the hate.
Yeah, they can take some constructive criticism.
Listen, you take your injury bug and walk out that door.
Yeah, your injury curse.
All right, how about the Washington football team? They're expected to retire jersey number 21 worn by the great late safety Sean Taylor. Now, unfortunately, it happened to be one of the worst weeks to announce it.
I am heated about that everything about that. I'm just fuming over it. Sean Taylor was one of my inspirations when I was playing, and I actually wore his number because of that. Mm-hmm. So this just seems like a very big disrespect. And, I mean, even his brother came out and said, yeah, I just found out this week. We all know this is a cover-up because all the Washington leaked emails and all the scandals with the cheerleaders going on, and honestly, the NFL doesn't care. It won't care. And just the fact that they're just retiring his number out of just to get good publicity is just sad. And honestly, Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, whatever they are, they're scum. And that's just as plain as I can be. It's disappointing.
No, this is something that they should have done before. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Landon Collins, who was a big actually Washington football team fan growing up, he actually was a big Sean Taylor fan as well. I think he's still wearing 21. Am I correct? I thought he did pick that jersey number, but you guys can double check that. But I'm pretty sure he wanted to, or the team allowed him to when he signed that big contract.
He's 26 right now.
26, so maybe he did just switch because I'm pretty sure he wanted to wear 21.
He was 20, and then he wore 21, I think, one game.
Okay.
For like his anniversary or something.
And then he switched back.
Okay.
I know he's a big Sean Taylor fan, so it's just a little small storyline there. Another big news this week, obviously it still ties into what Washington football team is going on right now, was Raiders head coach John Gruden, who did resign from the position this week. Their special teams Coach Jake, you can actually pronounce his name, Rich.
Rich Piscotty.
He is now taking over for Las Vegas. But yeah, big news, John Gruden did resign. Something we rarely see in the middle of the season.
Well, when you do stuff like he did, you got to.
Right.
So, I mean, terrible all-around situation for the whole team and whatnot. Apparently, Mayock said Rich is the best leader he's been around, and he's one of the smartest guys been around. So, and as a huge Mike Mayock fan, I have to tend to believe it because it just, you watch his interview and he just screams confidence, screams like the players building around him. So I wouldn't be shocked if in 2-3 weeks they actually get on another roll again because just how much they rally behind this guy. I mean, obviously the players still care about about Gruden because he was there for everything. But again, what Mayock said, your actions have consequences regardless of what time it is.
Now, what's awkward is I did see this, Matt, that John Gruden actually did just finish building his brand new mansion in Vegas, who happens to be next door to his quarterback, Derek Carr. So that might be a little awkward moving forward. But
oh, my God.
Did you guys not see that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be selling the mansion soon.
Yeah, he literally just finished it within a week or two.
I doubt he'll sell it. I mean, him and Derek are essentially family.
Just build a brand new mansion, and you're in Vegas. Where else are you going to go? You know what I mean?
I mean,
he's not coaching. He's made his money.
He's not coaching. He was making $11-12 million at ESPN for 20-plus years. He's and fine.
Now $10 million in Vegas. He's not going anywhere.
$100 million in Vegas?
Well, did he get the full $100 million? Or I thought it was $10 million a year.
Well,
there's still some details they're working out on that. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't even know. Can you get, like, exempt for that? Because that's a resign. That should be an exempt.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about Thursday night? The Bucks defeat the Eagles 28-22, the final score. One quick note, Jalen Hurts, not a good real quarterback, but good fantasy quarterback.
Garbage time king.
Yeah. And how about another quote from Thursday night? Thursday night Lenny. Not playoff Lenny. Thursday night Lenny.
Dude, he goes, okay, he picks the weirdest times to go off. And then everybody will be like, oh, he's the greatest running back. And then he'll have like 400 yards at the end of the year because that's just how Leonard is. I'm glad he's having a good, you know, good resurgence with the Bucs and whatnot. But shut up.
I mean, you know that there's talent with Leonard Fournette. I mean, you know what? He was taking top five for whether or not you want to believe that's the right thing to do. He was taking.
Who was three picks later?
Do we really want to bring this up right now? You want to hash this out?
Mr. Hamstring?
Yeah. Hamstring himself, Mr. Christian McCaffrey. That is true. But still, he was picked top five for a reason.
Can you imagine taking a running back top five and then being injury prone and garbage?
Couldn't be me.
Couldn't be Giants either.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. Actually, yeah. it was the rumor to actually be number one too. He was in conversation, so which we haven't seen in a long time. Running back taking number one. So I don't think that will ever happen again.
Your time.
I really don't think that'll ever happen again.
Yeah, at this point in the league. Yeah, they're not going to take running back number one overall.
Khalil Herbert did pretty good, and he's like, what, fifth round, sixth round guy?
Just go over to the Bay Area in San Francisco, and they find running backs just hanging on the street.
Well, that's just Shanahan weirdo.
All right, another big news, not just from that game, but there was brought up that Zach Ertz was really emotional leaving the field Thursday night, and they're like, why is he being so emotional? Well, he unfortunately got traded early Friday to the Cardinals, which is a great trade for Arizona.
Actually, he was traded Thursday. Oh, so he knew the whole game.
Reported. Okay.
He knew the whole game. That's why he was up.
See, how can he be traded before the game, though?
I don't know. They must have told.
They just said that we're trying to work out the details.
I think what happened is they came up with the exact, we got a trade. We're sending you to Arizona. Do you want to play out this last game? You don't have to. Because obviously Zach loved Philadelphia, loved the city, wanted to be with the city. So he probably went out there, played his last game, told Hurts, throw me the ball. Wait a minute, throw me the touchdown. Then,
which Hurts could barely do that, but yeah.
Well, what do you want? It's either 17 RPOs back-to-back-to-back or QB run.
Jalen Hurts is a great fantasy quarterback, but just a bad NFL quarterback right now. And Zach Hurts again got traded to the Cardinals in exchange for cornerback Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth-round pick. Also in Cardinal news, their head coach Cliff Kingsbury is on the COVID list. Matt, you guys were telling me before the show, he will actually not be at the Sunday game versus who are they playing? Good question. We'll double check that. But again, he is not expected to coach for
don't
the Cardinals
this weekend.
Don't you
have the schedule up?
Yeah, guys,
yeah,
come on.
I was on the Buccaneers.
We're not doing a football show here or anything.
Browns. They're playing the Browns.
Ooh. Tough game.
So, actually, I'm very intrigued how to see that and who's calling plays because I feel like Cliff's been hampering that offense. As much as you want to say, I think he's Yes.
Is he the OC too?
Yes.
So who's
I don't know.
The quarterback coach? I mean,
he's not the OC, but he's the one calling the plays.
That's what I was wondering. Is there somebody on that team, that staff, that's listed as offensive coordinator? If not, then who on earth is going to call plays?
I'm waiting for Matt to finish his Google.
That's going to be very interesting. I don't know how that's going to shape out.
Did you figure it out?
Yes. So Vance Joseph and Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator, are going to split the head coaching duties in his absence.
Who's calling the plays?
I don't know. You know what? They might not.
Oh, they're going to be without. That. They're going to be without quarterbacks coach Cam Turner. Also.
Oh, sweet.
Dude, they may be. Who's calling?
This is going
Kyler.
It's going to be Kyler. I'll tell you what. Now you might think, oh, I'm definitely not.
Kyler's going to go out there with like 8-man protections.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think people fantasy owners might be scared. Like, I'm not going to start Kyler. Watch Kyler go out and score 5 touchdowns.
I hope so. It just proves, dude, Kingsbury, you're bad. I don't care what the record says. You're just decision-making. Just your quarterback bails you out. You can't call the right plays. You're running a pro-style college offense where the fact that you have DeAndre Hopkins, probably the top 2 receiver in the league, stuck on the left side because you refuse to move him anywhere other than the left side. Mm-hmm. If you go look at next-gen stats for the last 2 years, he's only lined him up on the left side.
Yeah, you show me the graph.
AJ Green has only lined up on the right side.
Okay, so the play caller.
I'm mad.
The play caller for this game is going to be the run game coordinator, Sean Coogler.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't
Let's
either.
Let's go.
But he's going to be the one taking over calling duties.
Does that say rev up your Chase Edmonds and James Conner? Is that what's happening?
That's what it's sounding like because he's also the offensive line coach.
Fourth round pick? Fourth? When did you take Chase Edmonds?
Like 7th or 8th round. And he's been consistent outside of last week.
That's not consistency, though.
Every week except last week, minimum 11 points. I'll take it.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Matt, I hand it over to you here. That's it for the headlines around the league. What is some of your golden nuggets around the league? You do some deep dives, some nuggets that we might not know in the NFL, just some interesting facts that you or the average fan may not know.
Okay, so let's talk about one of the more promising wide receivers.
I botched that intro, but
you're good. I'll roll off.
Pick me up.
We'll talk about one of the more prominent young receivers in this game right now, Jamar Chase.
Who's that?
Superstar.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Your fantasy team knows.
Let's relax on the superstar.
After hearing
nickname.
This, you may reconsider.
Okay, all right, change my mind.
So, Jamar Chase, he has 400-plus receiving yards and 5 touchdowns in his first 5 games. There's only one other player in NFL history to do that in their first 5 career games.
Randy Moss. Oh, I guessed.
Yes.
Okay. He's a superstar.
Yeah, a pretty good company.
And do you have the stat about the pass rating when he's targeted?
Oh, yes. When Joe Burrow targets Jamar Chase in single coverage, he has a perfect passer rating.
Really?
Perfect, 158.3.
Oh, I did see that. No, we were actually sitting in the same room when Scott Hansen brought that up, right?
We might have.
Yeah. You were at our house and you were watching the game.
And Matt said, oh, that's a golden nugget.
I already knew that because he's on my team.
That's a good point.
And Jamar Chase also is only the second wide receiver this century to have 50-plus yards in his first 5 games. The only other wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb. Randy Moss, his 3rd game, he only had 30 yards.
Bum.
So, yeah, Jamar Chase, really good company he's in right now.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a superstar. I'll agree with you guys there.
Thank you.
Changed my mind.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to change it back.
So, sticking with that Bengals and Packers game, all those kicks that Mason Crosby and Evan McPherson missed.
Was it like 6 combined at the end?
So, it is the first time since 1991 that 5 field goal kicks have been missed in the last 3 minutes in overtime.
Really?
Yes. It's an oddly specific stat, but it's crazy that it's been that long. That's like nobody wanted to win that game.
I know a lot of fans get frustrated with just, we don't have a good kicker. Like, it's an easy job, you know, put it through the uprights. Well, when it comes down to the pressure in the moment, there's a certain group of guys that can just deliver consistently.
Thank you.
Like the Justin Tuckers of the world, the Josh Lambos of the world.
Don't you dare put Josh Lambo in this conversation.
Listen,
you might have been able to get away with it 2 years ago, but not now.
Listen, when my guy is fully healthy,
your guy,
he's in that conversation. But yeah, you're right. In the last 2 years, it's been a rough ride.
All right, so moving on to the next one. Last Sunday was the longest day of NFL football in its history.
You know what? It felt like it.
Really? I mean, there's a lot of crazy games we just went over. I mean, it's just a lot of time.
From the early London kickoff to the end of Sunday Night Football, 15 hours and 1 minute.
Oh, because of the delay.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm not a fan of that early kickoff. Not a fan.
It's not for you. It's for London. It's for the UK fans. It's not for you.
Listen, they don't have a team over there.
Do you see what teams they sent over there? It's Falcons. Not for you.
Who doesn't want to watch some Falcons football?
Some Falcons Jets football.
Falcons fans. They don't.
And also on that Sunday, there was 11 missed field goals and 11 missed PATs.
It was just one of those days.
Nobody wanted to kick that day.
Just one of those days. Cody Parkey was in that group too.
He doinked.
Brought back some memories.
I think it's just weird how the universe has just made him doink every kick now.
Should we also mention that Matt was also a fan of Cody Parkey too?
Loved Cody Parkey.
Yes, after his rookie year. He was one of my top three favorite kickers after his rookie year.
Look where he's at.
I was so happy when the Bears signed him, and now I hate him more than anything else.
Just like most Bears fans.
Just like Hot Rod and the Colts.
Ouch.
He's hurt too, by the way.
Yeah, I know that.
Matt's fault.
All right, everybody. It's that time of year. We get to talk about how good Derrick Henry is rushing the football.
But you can't do it against the Jags. It's no. Easy.
Derrick Henry has more rushing yards than 25 other teams just by himself.
He's having a great year.
And he also has more carries than 22 other teams put together.
Like I think about all the workload he's had over the years, and then you look at this year, 37 carries, 33, 29. It's like, when's this guy just going to fall over and just call it quits? And I look at him, get up after each hit. It's like, that guy's built.
He's
not giving up.
He's not slowing down.
When you got the body of Superman.
I mean, you think that's a joke. That's serious. I mean, he has a body of a running back that we've never seen before.
I watched Andrew Wingard, safety for the Jaguars, take a business decision on one of the touchdowns.
What else?
For him. Yeah.
Andrew Wingard is just something else. And I don't
blame the ghost of Conti.
But at the same time, I don't blame him for making a business decision. Who's going to try to tackle Derrick Henry one-on-one? You're going to lose that battle.
I'll do it for $20 right now.
I saw a Jets cornerback a few weeks ago do it, but he went for his legs and tripped him up. If you don't do that, you're going to get run over.
I saw Darius Leonard get stiff-armed.
Yeah, he tried doing that with his upper body.
But I saw Isaiah Simmons stuff him.
The goal line, wasn't it?
Yeah, short. No.
Twice.
I thought it was like a fourth and one, like a third and one.
It was a fourth and one. He stuffed them, and then he stuffed them on the goal line.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
All right, guys, you ready for a little flashback back to 2018?
That's a flashback?
It will feel like it. So a flashback to 2018, the whole Antonio Brown controversy with the Steelers.
Yeah.
At that time, AB said Big Ben was trash. He said Juju was nothing without him.
Poo-poo Smith.
That was true.
And in his short stint with the Raiders, he called John Gruden, John Gruden was racist, is what he said. Now, we all thought AB was crazy.
He also
after
called
all
Mike Mayock a cracker.
Well, listen. Like, I get where you're going with this. Antonio Brown's still nuts. That hasn't changed.
He also raped a girl.
That hasn't changed.
But fact, at that time, everybody called him crazy for all this stuff, and all this starting to come true.
Dude, I watched him run in his backyard screaming, thank you, Lord, thank you, Grandma.
Yeah, I'm not saying he isn't truly crazy, but some of
thank
the stuff
you,
he's saying.
Thank you, I lost my job. Thank you.
Thank you, I lost my job. Let's not talk about the females that I had to pay out of court.
Ooh. Oh, no.
All right, what else you got, Matt?
All right. So Jake was just talking about the Chiefs defense being horrible this year. Let's go specifically how horrible they are.
Cowboys horrible.
So the Chiefs defense on a per play basis, they are allowing 7.1 yards per play.
It's insane.
Now, we go back to the year 2000, arguably the most prolific offense in NFL history, the 2000 Rams. They averaged 7 yards a play. The Chiefs defense is giving up more yards per play than arguably the best offense in NFL history got per play.
Wow. Is there any more to that, or can I?
That's it.
Okay, so here's my question with that. Now, if you're looking at where the Chiefs, what they did this year after just being blasted in the Super Bowl last year, that they had to simply protect Patrick Mahomes. Like, they just had to protect him. So they spent all this money in the offseason signing Joe Thuney, trading for Orlando Brown, just trying to get depth to protect your quarterback. What would you guys rather have? The offensive line and the money that the Chiefs spent this offseason to protect your franchise quarterback, who's worth $500 million.
Franchise quarterback.
No joke.
Protect.
Or have a dominant defense.
Protect.
Not like what the Chiefs had a year ago. Dominant defense. What would you rather have on your
protect.
Team?
Protect.
Spend that money on the offensive line?
Yeah. Or we get another Andrew Luck situation.
But
he's the $500 million man.
And you have the offensive firepower. You have the Kelce's, the Tyreek Hill. You have firepower where you can win these shootouts, and you should be winning these shootouts.
Defense bad.
This year, the Chiefs are just not doing that. But your defense is so bad that you have to win these shootouts. And crazy, because if there's one team where we think could win in shootouts consistently, it's the Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, maybe Bills. You can put in that category. Consistently do that. The Chiefs are just not winning those shootout games. Yeah, they got lucky week one coming back versus Cleveland. Since then, they're just not winning these high-scoring games, the Chargers game, the Bills game. They're just not winning these high-powered games, which is crazy to think. You know, it's just the Chiefs. We talked a lot about so far on the show with the Chiefs. All right, Matt, is there any more you got?
Yes. So since 2013, the number one seed for one of the conferences has made it to the Super Bowl every single year since 2013. Now, also since 2013, there have been six Super Bowls, which both number one seeded teams played in the Super Bowl. So this stresses the importance of how the number one seed affects the rest of the playoffs. You get that first round bye, and that just shows how talented of a team you are, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I really like the playoff system. I don't like the Monday night game coming up this year. I don't like that. But I like where it's only one team, the top team, gets the first round bye instead of having the top two. I just think there's more at stake. There's more teams that are actually playing for something going into the last regular season week. So I really like how it's set up now. I think the NFL has done a good job with that. But again, it just goes to show you that number one seed, obviously the top seed is what you want in each conference, but it just shows you the importance that it has compared to the rest of the seed.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
All right, Jake, or Matt, you said you had one more, right?
Yep, one more. So the last four games the Bears have played against the Raiders, they have played it in four different locations. They have played it in Oakland, Vegas, London, and Chicago.
Really?
Four different games, four different stadiums.
And return of the Mac, and now Gruden's gone. It was Gruden's goodbye kiss.
Yeah, I'll talk about a guy who traded him for what we thought was just a shock. Why do you trade a franchise cornerstone like that? And, well, guess who the guy who made the trade is now gone. So it looks like Cleo Mack got the last laugh out of that trade. All right, Jake, give me more golden nuggets?
Yeah, I have some spicy nuggets, if that's what you want. Sure. Going down in history, Lions first to lose on a game-winning field goal of 50 yards with no time left on the clock twice in a single season.
Heartbreaking losses.
Is the only team in NFL history.
The heartbreak curse is real. You can't deny it.
Maybe that's why Dan Campbell was very emotional at the press conference, too, because just his team's just fighting for him.
Well, he's a football player. He knows how it is. Justin Fields will be the 20th different starting quarterback that Chicago has used against the Packers since 1992.
Awesome.
Green Bay has used three different starters, Brett, Aaron, and Brett Hundley. We lost that Hundley game, by the way.
I do remember that game.
Yeah, I do too. It was not fun.
He's still trying to kick the tires in the league. I believe he's on the Colts right now, so he's still hanging around.
Yes, he is. Currently the third string.
Did you guys see Aaron Jones was trying to name all 20 quarterbacks in his press conference this week? Did you guys see that? He tried naming all 20 of the Bears quarterbacks.
Did he get close?
He got close to it, yeah. He named a pretty good amount.
So I have one for, this is specifically for Matt. Did you know Jeff Fisher has had more interceptions in the NFL than Jamal Adams?
Really?
Yep.
Again, Jamal Adams is like a great run defender, supposedly.
He's a linebacker.
But yeah, when it comes to the ball in the air, he just doesn't track it very well. He doesn't play his zone.
Yeah, and I think that you got to give the credit to Todd Bowles because, you know, he was pivotal in making him such a great all-around safety. And now I don't even know what to say.
Even when he came to Seattle, he was good, too.
He didn't cover well, though.
Right, but like when he came, right away, like he was like putting up numbers, he was making that defense somewhat relevant.
He broke the safety sack record, which was held by Dave Duerson. So, the single year.
Hey, Adrian Wilson.
Dave Duerson has the career, I believe. So, yeah, he do be okay.
But as of right now, not worth all that money.
Neither is Darius Leonard.
All right, guys, let's move on to the fantasy portion of our show. Start with the injuries. We do have a long list of injuries. start off with guys who are listed as questionable. We're going to run through the position groups. And guys, if you want to chime in with some of these injuries, just let me know. All right. Questionable quarterbacks, Tua, rib injury. He is expected to return this week. Tight end, TJ Hockenson, has been dealing with a knee injury. Has not been productive as of late, which we all saw a big breakout year for him coming. Has not been the case so far. Gerald Everett was also looks to be activated off the COVID list. He's expected to play this week versus the Steelers.
Timeout. The Hockenson thing is Matt's fault.
Are you a Hockenson fan?
Yes. Yes, shocker. I was.
Shocker. Big yeah. Shocker.
Awesome. Running back, Kareem Hunt, dealing with a wrist and knee injury, but he's expected to be the starter because Nick Chubb has already been ruled out.
I better get 50 points from my mans.
We're going to say that name again. Joe Mixon, dealing with an ankle injury. DeAndre Swift has been the injury list since week one with the groin injury. It hasn't changed.
He's like Cook.
He's gonna be the Julian Edelman of running backs, just consistently on that injury report each week with Cook. The same injury. Yeah. Zeke Elliott dealing with a rib injury. Antonio Gibson, shin. Chase Edmonds, Matt, that's your guy's shoulder injury.
Wait, is Zeke still sore from landing on the metal pylon?
Yeah, they were saying, I think that, yeah, when he was in the end zone or whatever when he fell down, he took, like, you could tell he was hard to breathe.
Telling you, like, as soon as we saw it, I was like, that had to hurt. And I know he's getting clowned on it, but that's metal, and that's like a straight fall.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter how tough you are. I mean, it's rips that, or rips.
That hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Cowboys actually filed a complaint with the league about that. The placement of the pylon where it's been for how many years?
I think it's always funny.
No. That was the first down pylon with the camera.
Oh, the first down pylon. Okay.
I think it's always funny when you're just, you know, joking with friends and you.
You friends?
Or when you go out, you see fans of teams, they're like, oh, it's a rib injury. Get back out there. It's like, you let me know how broken ribs feel.
Yeah.
You let me know if you can go back out there and run 20 yards.
I played one game with bruised ribs on both sides. I couldn't breathe.
It hurts.
It literally couldn't breathe. Yeah. It was horrible.
It's funny when you see that sometimes. Melvin Gordon dealing with a hip injury.
Oh, Javonte time?
Well, it's Jamal Williams is also hurt. I was going to say Javonte Williams. I made the mistake last week. Jamal Williams back on the injury list with a hip and illness. And then Damien Harris, which I don't know if he's listed as doubtful just yet. He's still questionable dealing with a rib injury, but that's something you want to monitor going into Sunday.
Did he fumble last week?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did going into the end zone.
Doubtful.
But they called it a touchdown on the field, and they went and reviewed it, and it was hard to over-return that.
He's not playing.
It was hard, yeah. Tariq Hill dealing with a quad injury. Mike Williams, knee. Terry McLaurin, hamstring injury. Kadarius Toney, ankle injury. Allen Robinson, ankle injury. Rashad Bateman is expected to be activated off the injury reserve.
Let's go!
Dealing with a groin injury.
Can we talk about that Mike Williams, please? I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear.
Knee injury. Mike Williams.
Is he going to play?
He's listed as questionable right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you need him.
I do.
Yeah, Mike Williams.
That was a big question.
Talk about a guy who's looking to get paid this offseason. A former top 10 pick out of Clemson.
We'll see. Chargers better pay him. I don't know how you don't.
Do they have the money, though?
It doesn't matter.
Do you really want to extend Derwin James? You have that coming up. You just paid Joey. So, I mean, you have guys that you have already at Herbert. You still have to prepare for eventually.
Herbert all offseason, all he did was just rave about Mike Williams, calling him the best deep threat in the league.
Mike's showing out. I think you got to pay him.
Even though Keenan's there, Herbert says Mike is his favorite guy.
Maybe that's why they picked Josh Palmer as early as they did in the third rounds, because that's a guy under a rookie contract you can have for 4 years. Maybe that's why.
It's years of control on the roster.
Yeah. All right. Guys, where this says out, Russell Wilson was placed in the injury reserve. He is not expected to come back until week 10 dealing with a middle finger injury. Tight end Max Williams dealing with a knee injury. It did not look good. Got injured on the sidelines there. Running back Christian McCaffrey dealing with a hamstring injury.
They haven't put him on IR?
Not yet. No, not officially.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just out. I want to ask you, though, about Christian McCaffrey dealing with a hamstring injury, because this is a story you've seen for a couple weeks now, but he's been practicing or being limited, and yet he still hasn't played. Is there just maybe an update on what you know?
I will tell you from experience, you can be literally 99% on Thursday, and then you wake up. Step one way wrong, 0%. It's the most fickle injury, his hamstring and groin, because it's just ligaments and just you can't really do anything but time. But these guys don't want to wait because they get paid money to play. And of course, Christian wants to play. So again, he probably just woke up, something set him back, and they're like, listen, it's not even, because if he goes out there and gets hurt again.
Yeah, tears it possibly or whatever. Strains it. Yeah, that's the worst. So that's why you don't want to rush that.
And especially since you got Chuba back there and he's been productive. So Again, just sit him and rest. But
I get you've lost two straight, but you're being competitive in both those games.
That's not, but that was right. That was a little Darnold fault.
Well, that's why I wanted a little more insight.
Sam LaDarnold fault.
Because I know there's a lot of McCaffrey owners out there that are wondering, like, well, what's going on? This guy keeps returning to practice and he's not playing on Sunday. What's going on? So,
what's going on?
Nick Chubb dealing with a calf injury. Saquon Barkley, ankle injury. Thanks, Matt. Chris Carson dealing with a neck injury. He was actually placed on injury reserve along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire with a knee injury. Those guys you might want to put on injury reserve. Damien Williams on the COVID list for the Bears. Kenny Galladay at the receiver position dealing with a knee injury.
Sure he is.
Devontae Parker dealing with a shoulder and hamstring injury. A little
sure
double
is.
Injury there. Juju Smith-Schuster, shoulder injury. Curtis Samuel, groin.
Isn't he going to IR? They said he was season ending.
Yes. Okay. He is season ending shoulder injury. This is all guys who are listed as out. Curtis Samuel, groin, Sammy Watkins, hamstring, and Quintus Cephas dealing with a collarbone injury for Detroit. All right, Matt, let's get into our player highlights. Some guys under the radar picks, your pick of the week for the quarterback position. Lead us off.
All right, so I'm going to start off with Carson Wentz going up against the Houston Texans.
It's a great matchup.
Yeah.
Last
week against that good Baltimore defense, Carson Wentz threw for over 400 yards, and now going up against Houston, who the past three games combined, they've allowed over 90 points. That is a lot of points allowed by one defense in three games.
I'm with you. It's definitely a matchup you're looking for. A guy you can, if you're, say you're a Trey Lance owner or Jameis Winston, you're looking for a guy you can fill in on bye week. But in Carson Wentz fashion, watch him come out and lay an egg. Just be Carson Wentz.
That would be the most Carson Wentz thing ever. But it's really sad that T.Y. Hilton isn't playing because he loves playing in the stadium.
Yeah, he has dominated. I believe you brought that up last year, right? Where he's just flat out dominated.
Yeah.
In the Houston Dome.
That he said is his favorite place to play. But still, even without him, Michael Pittman is looking like the alpha wide receiver they want to be. Then Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines in the receiving game, they've been adding up yards. So I'm expecting a big day out of this Colts offense, which is the first time I've said that in a while.
Yeah. How about a guy I'm expecting a big day, and that is Trevor Lawrence, the rookie, going up against the Miami Dolphins, who are currently ranked 29th against the quarterbacks in fantasy so far this year. Now, Trevor Lawrence has only had two games this year scoring below 15 points. Both of those games was against Denver and Arizona. Now, the two things about those teams, they're both top 10 versus the quarterback position in fantasy so far this year. Jake, we talked about before, Trevor Lawrence is getting more designed quarterback runs, which is something you and I both like to see.
He's
being involved, using his legs, and guess what? 8 total touchdowns this season, 2 rushing for the rookie. So he's doing big things with his legs, not only with his arm. We know the talent with his arm. Miami, on the other side, this year, has allowed 11 touchdown passes since week 2. Jake, that's 92 points in that span to the quarterback position in fantasy.
Yikes.
That's bad.
Especially coming from such a dominant defense last year, because when they had Xavier with the whatever picks he had. Mm-hmm. So it obviously, and I really start to think, just from watching football so long, Brian Flores, I do not like him.
I thought he was one of the better assistant coaches from Bill Belichick becoming head coaches.
I thought he was until he fired 2 OCs in a 6-month span.
Yeah.
Getting rid of players you don't like, that doesn't matter. That you're there to win games. You're not there to be friends with people. Look at what Bill O'Brien did. That's horrible. As far as we know, Hopkins would still be a Texan.
He should have been. He should have been their franchise player.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, the player will be there longer than you will. And Brian Flores, he cannot decide between if he wants to win or wanted to develop Tua. So that was last year. Again, Brian Flores just up and down with a lot of things. You're starting to see a lot of cracks form on that Dolphins team because they had such high expectations. So this is a really good start for Trevor to come out here and just completely dominate against a team that's already beat up.
Sure. Now, again, Mike Williams just torts Xavier Howard. We talked about who's having a great year last year. He's been very, very bad this year. All right, Matt, who's your second quarterback pick of the week?
This one will come as a bit of a surprise, but Geno Smith versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you may think, Pittsburgh Steelers, they have a phenomenal defense. They get a lot of sacks, they got a lot of turnovers, but they've also been allowing a lot of points this year. Their game log for allowing points, 16, 26, 24, 27, 19. So yeah,
their secondary is bad.
They
struggle this year.
Which Joe Hayden, surprisingly, he was good last year, but this year he's been rough. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, for a while, he was the lowest rated safety on PFF. So that secondary has been getting torn up in Seattle, even without Russell Wilson.
That's Sorensen's name.
Yeah. They still have Metcalf and Lockett. So with Chris Carson out also, Alex Collins, we saw last week, he was not productive at all in the running game. So Seattle will probably have to lean more on the pass as they have in the past. And Geno Smith will get it done.
So you believe Geno Smith just 1 week being the starter now in practice?
So we had an argument
from a fantasy perspective.
We had a discussion at home about this.
Because it's an obviously a controversial pick.
He's going to be out there.
Call. Yeah.
Again, Chris Carson's going to be gone. Also, I wanted to touch on Chris Carson. So Chris Carson right now is dealing with herniated discs, and it's a chronic herniated disc problem. Mm-hmm. I would more than likely see if it doesn't heal by week 8, he's going to be shut down for the year because this is a spinal injury, and that's it.
So you're saying if he was dropped in a league and I saw the name and I said, wow, Chris Carson got dropped, sure, I could avoid a few weeks.
That's
you're saying it might not have been a good idea.
All I'm saying is a bulging disc is not the best thing in the world, but if it's healed by week 8, week 9, you should be fine, and I can't believe somebody dropped him.
You know, I just noticed, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Jamie in our league. In our main league, we all play for a trophy and whatnot. Jamie's running backs real quick this year, his top three guys, Clyde, Edwards-Helaire, done more than likely for the year. Chris Carson, good chance could be done for the year if it's as bad. His third running back, Myles Gaskin.
Dude, do you want to... Okay, first of all, I have McCaffrey. I had Gus Edwards. Have Montgomery. What?
Hey, at least only one of them... that list, only one of them is done for the year. At least.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't care.
McCaffrey's still McCaffrey. When he comes back, he's going to get 30 points.
I hope so. Yeah. Please, baby.
All right, Matt, who are you talking about? Jake, who's your quarterback?
I went to the wrong
name.
First of all,
I
want to talk about Joe Burrow going up against, again, 0-5 Lions. I think it's an obvious start. I mean, most people that took Burrow probably took him as your second quarterback, not your first. One-on-one coverage against the Lions cornerbacks against with Jamar. I think that's an obvious statement because of what we heard earlier about Jamar Chase. And I believe this is on the Lions.
Yes, it is in Detroit.
Yeah, okay, so it's going to be on Dome and Turf. I'm taking Burrow because that's just money for me because, again, different players play differently on different fields, and Burrow obviously just destroys on turf.
Here's the thing with Burrow, though. He has to play smarter. I mean, you might think, that's simple, but we've watched Burrow over the last few weeks. A guy who's coming back from just an absolute devastating knee injury, he has to be smarter. You're not as mobile. You have to protect yourself because you're the franchise guy.
And I get that comes down to Zach Taylor because he will not call any coverages that include tight ends or running backs to block. So not only does Burrow, again, have to fight for his life every play because nobody in the offensive world wants to give him some cover, blocking. Yes, their left tackle, Jonah Williams, is playing as a top 15 tackle, but that doesn't mean the whole line is. Mm-hmm. So they only call 5-man protections, which is the base tackles you can allow.
Which is what the Bears did versus Cleveland, if you're a Browns fan, just for any perspective.
Yeah, so that's how it is. It's dumb play calling by Zach Taylor again, and Joe Burrow has to play hero ball because he's got to do what he's got to do because, again, he's being hampered. I mean, Mixon being out every other week, Perrine coming in, doing all right. Mm-hmm. But I think this game is where, I mean, honestly, just match up.
This is a good matchup.
I am having a stroke.
It's a good matchup for Burrow to take advantage of.
See, Very much so.
I like the matchup, and I agree with you to a certain point with Zach Taylor. But also, let's talk about that play versus the Packers where he did roll out, where he was on his own, and for whatever reason, just an absolute dumb play where he was down on the ground for a while, and all fans just dead silent in the Cincinnati crowd because That is not on Zach Taylor. That is a Joe Burrow decision.
That is a Joe Burrow
problem. And a bad decision at one.
It is. But again, this is still his rookie year. He only played a few games last year. So he's going through every growing pain like Trevor and Zach is. And everybody expects something bigger from Joe because he was taking one and he was hurt and now he's got all these weapons. Just the fact that he's come back and you can start seeing the confidence gain in him and just how he's been playing a lot better recently gives me a lot of hope. Yes, he does need to protect himself better because that is unacceptable. You know, with Allen, he just throws his body around dude, look what happened to Cam. You know, you want to go from making millions and being the hero of that town to being ostracized and hated. So, again, protect yourself. Even even Aaron told him, he was like, dude, you got to protect yourself, be smart, you got a bright future in the league, and it you just have to slide. I mean,
he would have said the same thing to Andrew Luck.
Yeah, very sad.
No, for sure. And again, it's a good matchup.
Zach Taylor bad, though.
Yeah. My second quarterback is Taylor Heinicke, going up against the Chiefs, who we've pretty much dogged on for the first part of the show.
Have we?
Who are
deservingly so.
Here's the thing. The Chiefs are currently ranked 32nd against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. Now, Heinicke, he has actually hasn't played a good defense until last week versus New Orleans. Now, Taylor so far this year, 21, 23, 27 points in fantasy so far this year. 8 touchdowns. Kansas City is ranked dead last, like I just mentioned. Kansas City has allowed this year so far 3 30 or more point games versus quarterbacks in fantasy. 3 of 30 points or more. They've also allowed a minimum of 280 passing yards a game and 2 touchdowns or more per game versus the quarterback position so far this year. That's horrible. That's bad. That's supposed to be a good defense. They are dead last. This is where you're just absolutely screaming for matchup. I know Taylor Heinicke looked really bad last week. He has to be better. I expect him to be better because it's a better matchup than playing the Saints defense, which is tough. Matt, moving on to tight end. Who is your tight end pick of the week?
This one's going to hurt. I'm going Robert Tonyan going up against the Bears.
Oh, the McHenry County guy.
Yeah. So he hasn't done much to start off this year.
Another local guy. Come on.
Come on, man.
So yeah, he hasn't done much to start off this year. But both games last year where he had his breakout year, he had touchdowns against the Bears. And just knowing the Bears, he would be one of the 2 players on that team to get a touchdown. It just seems like it's written in stone. It's going to happen. Robert Tonyan already plays good against the Bears.
Is he related to Robert Funyan?
I don't know.
No, I do believe the Bears last year were bottom 3 versus the tight end position in fantasy. They did struggle with it. This year, they've cleaned it up. They're a little bit better.
A little bit.
Not saying, like, when I say they were, like, bottom 3, they might be, like, bottom 8 now. Like, they're not the best, but they've gotten better, you know, if you're looking at that grade. So, again, it's just a nice matchup there. Jake, do you have a tight end? Or because I think the guy I'm going to bring up is also one of your tight ends here, and that's local boy.
That's the only one I wanted to talk about, okay, so honestly.
Let me bring it up here and then get your opinion. I'm talking about Dan Arnold, the former Boilermaker Titan himself, going up against Miami this week, ranked 17th against opposing tight ends in fantasy so far this season. We saw Dan Arnold, his second week in a Jaguar uniform, got traded in a short week, played that Thursday night game versus Cincinnati, had a 32% snap count, jumped up to 73% in just 1 week. That's a crazy jump from a tight end who we don't know if he was a starter or not. No, he is the starter moving forward. It's a big snap count from week 4 to week 5. 8 targets last week, 6 receptions, 64 yards. Led the team in targets and receptions. Now, there was a tight end touchdown last week. That was to Hollister, another veteran guy in that tight end room. But last week, just look at some of the targets. Marvin Jones, 5 targets.
What?
Chenault, 3 targets.
Oh, come on, man.
Tavon Austin, 6 targets.
Are you kidding me?
Jamal Agnew, do you not know this? Jamal Agnew, 7 targets. Jamal
Excuse
Agnew had 7
me?
Targets.
Dude,
Tavon Austin had 6. But Dan Arnold had 8. So he still led all those guys in targets. When we all thought Marvin Jones and Chenault were the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, my face when I drafted Chenault, pretty high.
Yeah. So again, so far this year, Miami has allowed 3 tight ends to the tight end position. Lawrence has had 6 touchdown throws. 2 of them have been to tight end. Now, that's against a small sample size. But again, he's getting Dan Arnold involved. He was their leading targets and receptions a week ago. I expect that to continue to climb or just be more consistent in this offense. I like what I've seen. Jake, you like what you've seen. Dan Arnold is my play this week versus the Dolphins.
Oh, they're in London?
Well, it is the London game, so make sure you get him in your lineup early. That is the early kickoff.
Guess who's not going to watch it?
Yeah, me probably. But yeah, Matt, who is your running back pick of the week?
So I'm going Sony Michel versus the Giants. So the Giants defense, not nearly as good as they were boasted to be at the beginning of the year. And Sony Michel, he's done decent as the backup in that Rams offense. He's got 2 games of 10 or more fantasy points, including last week where he got 11 carries. Mm-hmm. So he's getting the volume. Yeah, he's getting volume in that offense, and he's getting work in the receiving game. He had 4 targets. So going up against the Giants defense that have allowed a good amount of points to fantasy running backs this year, even though he's the backup, he's still a flex play this week.
I'll tell you what, they did keep Alvin Kamara in check a few weeks ago, but then they got dominated by the Cowboys. So again, I liked what I saw from that Rams offense. I really did back on Thursday night, but that rush defense by Seattle is bad. They cannot defend the run very well. I know they have
Stop.
A, I just Hey, I tell it how it is.
I have Washington and the Bengals.
I'm going with Myles Gaston this week, going up against Jaguars. Ew. The other running back in that London matchup. Jaguars ranked 26th against opposing running backs in fantasy so far this season. Gaskin has had five or more carries just twice this season. Now, again, there's not much workload going around in that running back group for the Dolphins. Last week, 10 targets, 2 touchdown catches, 10 receptions, 74 yards for Gaskin. Yes, he blew up. Guess who had him on your bench?
I was about to ask, so are you actually going to start him this week?
I am, because Ryan is on the COVID list, so I don't have another option. So, yeah, Gaskin is going to be my number two running back.
He's going to do bad this week now.
More than likely, yes. That's how the trend has been so far this year.
It's just like Matt with Emmanuel Sanders.
Don't get me started.
But, again, before last week versus Tennessee, because I want to exclude Derrick Henry's big day because he always has big days against Jaguars. This year, Jacksonville has allowed 84 points to the running back position. 8 touchdowns versus running backs. Again, that does not include last week versus Tennessee. So keep that in mind. That did not include what happened against Tennessee.
Well, I thought you guys were going to rebuild your team.
Listen, it's a process.
Not even a process at this point.
We're getting there.
I honestly think Alabama might beat you.
Listen, this is the process of the show, and we're going to continue with Matt, your second running back pick of the week.
So I'm going to stick to the same game as my first running back. Wow. I'm going to go Devontae Booker going up against the Rams. So with Barkley out for the immediate future, whether it be 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it may be, Devontae Booker is poised to take the workload for that Giants run game. Last week he got 16 carries, 4 targets, and ended with a nice 20 fantasy points. I don't know how many people started him. Probably not a lot. But this is a week that you will want to start him because the Giants are going to rely heavily on that run game, even though the Rams have a strong run defense. Daniel Jones, he's been playing pretty good so far this year, but you want to take as much pressure off him, especially with how strong that Rams pass rush is.
Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't get concussed.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, timeout. What we're saying here, you know how Trevon Diggs has been going off?
Yeah, because he's just getting receptions, but he's been actually being torched versus the pass. Do you know it? Okay, yeah, I know it.
So
yeah.
Right now he's on pace to allow the most receiving yards a cornerback has ever allowed.
Go figure. You know who Trevon Diggs' year sounds like? Xavier Howard a year ago. Marcus Peters.
That's what
there.
He said.
Marcus
That's
Peters
what
on
he
the Chiefs.
Said, yeah. Yeah, and he also has the most penalties by a defensive player this year.
Go figure.
So while the picks do look nice, and the reason why he catches them is because obviously he used to play receiver. So, yeah,
it shows how he's getting the picks because he's getting targeted a lot.
Listen, the only thing that matters for me is that Trevon Diggs is on my fantasy team in our defensive players league. And
dude, you're like 0-5.
No, in that league, I'm like 4-1.
Not in our league.
Yeah, and our just defensive players only league. Yeah. He's having a great year. All right.
You're lying.
Moving on to my second running back, Latavius Murray, going up against the Chargers, who are currently ranked 25th versus opposing running backs in fantasy so far this year. Now, what Baltimore likes to do is pretty easy. They like to establish the run early and often. This is what they like to do. 18 attempts versus Denver, 6 attempts last week versus the Colts, only 6 rushing attempts from the running back room, which I'm like, what? Like, why? Well, against the Colts on Monday night, they were actually down majority of the game, so they had to throw to catch up. That's what led for not many opportunities, only 6 rushing attempts in total by that running back group last week.
Yeah, if you got Tyson, I'm pretty sure you...
If you're a Tyson Williams owner out there, it's probably time to cut your losses because the team clearly does not like him.
He got in the doghouse. I'm telling you, like, I know he got the 18-point game the first game, but there's a lot of holes he missed, a lot of assignments he missed, and honestly, it's apparent that they don't like him.
Oh, yeah. Now, the Chargers this year, they've allowed 126 or more rushing yards, or they've allowed under 126 rushing yards this season once, and that was versus Vegas on that, I believe, that Monday night game. That was the only time they allowed less than 126 rushing yards in the game. They'd be getting torched versus the run this year. They allowed over 200 rushing yards in the game twice this year. They've been being torched by the run. So again, this is the Chargers. They're being torched by the rushing attack.
So are you telling me Kenneth Murray is bad?
Kenneth Murray is hurt.
Nobody else is in the middle linebacker.
Joey Bosa only gets sacks. Let's just say that.
Are you telling me because your white's bad?
All right.
Actually, you know what? I do want to say this. Jerry Tillery, waste of a first round pick.
Don't even.
Jerry Tillery was supposed to be the war daddy in the middle to stop the run, to help this problem.
He did at Notre Dame.
Wow. Congratulations.
He did in college.
He ain't getting paid to do it in college.
That's true.
Well, now you are. But yeah, obviously they were really banking on him to be good, but he is dog water. And Chris Tonga, our defensive tackle in the seventh round, already better than him.
No, for sure. All right, Matt, who's your wide receiver pick of the week?
All right, so I got A.J. Green going up against his old friends, the Cleveland Browns.
What? Mm-hmm. They're not friends.
A.J. Green likes him because he's had four career games of over 30 fantasy points against the Browns, and he's only had two games under 10 fantasy points that he's played. He has missed a few games due to injury, but in games he's played, only two of them have been under 10 points. And so far in this Arizona Cardinals offense, he has been getting respectable fantasy numbers, 13, 16, 17 points. So I'm feeling A.J. Green, since he'll be the number two target, Denzel Ward will be on DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to go off this week, even if he's being covered by Greedy Williams.
Is that a statement?
That means Denzel Ward is going to play only on the right side.
Are we? You mean the left side?
No, because on his right, when he's facing Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, it's only his stop. Right side. You're going to get mad again. Are we locking that A.J. Green going off? Can I get a confirmed?
Yes, that is something I am very confident in this week.
All right, so he's going up against Greedy, so.
What happens if it doesn't happen?
It's not going to happen.
Okay. Then I would be hurt.
All right, Jake, who's your wide receiver pick of the week?
Unfortunately, Randall Cobb.
Something tells me that you're actually happy to make this pick.
I've been waiting for it. I've been deciding whether to play him now or the game back where they go back to Lambeau. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's one of those games. He's going to get like 18-plus points, like seven receptions for 120 yards and a touchdown. That's just how it is. And Bears fans, older Bears fans, will just know and dread. As soon as he got signed back to the Packers, I rolled my eyes into the back of my head.
Here we go again.
Yeah, like...
Run it back.
There's not a lot of players I dislike, and I don't dislike Cobb as a human because he's a really good person, but man, do I hate when he plays the Bears. Holy crap. So, honestly...
A lot of Bears fans feel that same way.
Yeah, so just... If you got him this week, like, I picked him up this week just for this week, just because I know it.
That's a gut feeling. You know, I'm sticking with that same matchup.
Depression.
I'm going Darnell Mooney going up against the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
11th versus opposing wide receivers in fantasy. You might think, oh, that's not a great matchup. Well, Jair Alexander's on the injured reserve. He's not in the matchup. Now, Mooney and Fields, they have a connection. They've been really good this year. Yesterday,
Kevin King's also out, so Eric Stokes is the number one receiver, and he'll be on Aaron.
And he's a rookie. And, again, their top two cornerbacks are down. Now they're down to the rookie as the number one. We don't know who the number two cornerback will be for the Packers.
Most likely Shannon Sullivan.
Exactly. Oh, no. So, yeah. Again, Fields and Mooney have a connection. Mooney has had at least four or more targets in each game this year. He's had 11 targets in his last two games. It's clear as day that Fields is Mooney's number one option, his go-to guy over Allen Robinson. We really don't know what's going on with them this year. But, again, last week versus the Bengals, which Jair Alexander's first game he missed, Chase ended up having 28 points. Boyd had 7. Higgins had 10. That's 45 total points to the wide receiver room for the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, the Bengals, yes, they already have a good receiving room, but Packers got torched defensively in fantasy terms. So I like this matchup. Mooney's consistently getting targets, four or more targets in every single game this year that Fields has started, and he's had 11 in the last two games. They're starting to build that chemistry. I really like the matchup. My only concern, though, is Fields cannot float the ball, because if you float the ball, Eric Stokes is on the field. He's going to catch up. He's one of the faster guys in the league. You have to throw it on the money. You have to.
All right, he's on my Madden team, and I did that in practice the other day. I was so mad.
All right, Matt, who's your second wide receiver pick?
Okay, so this isn't as much of a pick as it is, let's say, a public service announcement. Don't fret about Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, he's a guy who only has 10 fantasy points once so far this year when he was picked in the top five rounds in pretty much every league. As of right now, on Sleeper, he has only started in 52% of leagues.
Oh, wow. That's
regardless of what league you're playing in. This is a week, no Jair Alexander, no Kevin King. You don't know who's going to cover you because Eric Stokes may cover Mooney because of the speed. Allen Robinson, three of the past four games, he's got a minimum of 15 points specifically against the Packers.
That's an ocean.
He loves playing Green Bay. This is a matchup he wants to have. And don't worry about him. Don't bench him just because you're worried about the production, at least not yet. This is a week he will do stuff.
Another red flag I have for the matchup, though, is...
Red flag.
This sounds like the same thing they had a week ago versus Vegas. They're both their starting cornerbacks who were on their injured reserve. They also have a less experienced secondary at the safety position in Vegas compared to Green Bay, where you have Amos, who's been there. Savage has been in the league for a few years now. So there's more experience in Green Bay than there was in Vegas. So it's kind of the same type of situation where it's like, well, what did you do last week? Nothing. So that is a little red.
Yeah. Last week, though, they had that 1-2 punch at running back. Now they only have the one punch.
It's true. That's a good point. They are hurt at the running back position. A guy I want to bring up is Emmanuel Sanders versus Tennessee, who are dead last versus the wide receiver position in fantasy, ranked 32nd. Now, Sanders has had minimum 6 targets in each game, minimum 48 yards in each game this year. He's had 4 touchdowns in his last 3 weeks. Now, so far, versus the wide receiver position, Tennessee, that's secondary. They've allowed 21 fantasy points to the Colts receivers. They had allowed 39 fantasy points to the Jets receiving core. And then they allowed 29 fantasy points to the Jaguars receiving core. So again, those aren't your Tampa Bay, your Rams, your Seahawks, your great receiving cores out there. We're talking Jags, Colts, and Jets. Not good receiving cores. And they allowed a lot of points. That's why they're dead last. So again, Tennessee has struggled in their last 3 games versus receiver position. Another guy I want to bring up is Amon St. Brown, the rookie receiver out of USC for the Lions, playing the Bengals, who are ranked 23rd against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this year. Now, St. Brown has had 16 targets in his last 2 games, 13 receptions for 135 yards, 13 fantasy points in back-to-back weeks. Now, Cincinnati has allowed the team's leading receiver over 100 yards in 3 straight games, 206 yards versus Devontae Adams last week in Green Bay. So again, just a guy who's probably out there on your waiver wire you might want to go look at, just maybe a little under the radar pick. All right, Matt, let's update us on our kicker challenge. How'd we do last week?
So last week, I'll just get straight to the point. I won again.
Cool.
What a surprise. Is it 5 weeks in a row now?
5 weeks in a row. Yep. Young Wiku pulled it out with 11 points. Chase McLaughlin, he came close for you. He got 10 points. And then it came.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Are you kidding?
Nope, I'm 100% legitimate.
I lost by 1 point.
Yes, you did. Again.
Again.
And they
you said it again.
It's no shocker because I actually knew it because I went back and double checked. They hit the same amount of field goals and extra points. So I'm like, what happened? Well, Young Waku had above, I think it was a 50 yarder or 51 yarder.
Yeah.
That was the dagger for me, unfortunately.
And then Justin Tucker, unfortunately, Jake, he only netted you 3 points.
Oof.
Which honestly, I was surprised about.
There goes your there goes his Tucker pick. All right, this week, Matt, lead us off. Who's your kicker pick?
All right, so I'm going Nick Folk. Nick Folk, he is either the number 1 or number 2 fantasy kicker, depending on what scoring format you use. He has just been consistent. He is looking like the new Gostkowski in terms of fantasy points, to where they aren't scoring as many touchdowns as they are kicking field goals. And that's good work for a field goal kicker. I'm going Nick Folk. Good points.
Maybe consistency is probably not the word I would use for Nick Folk, but
consistently picked up and dropped on the practice squad.
That's true. Jake, real quick, who is your kicker pick of the week?
Brandon McManus.
Okay, I like that matchup. Now, my kicker pick is going to be McPherson, the rookie kicker out of Florida for the Cincinnati Bengals, going up against the Lions in the Dome. That is my kicker week. So, Bears and Packer week, of course, is a big week. We talked about a lot before earlier in the show. A lot of great matchups. The key matchup is the receiver versus the Packers cornerback group. How is it going to shape out with Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney? That's really the kind of headline of what we're going to look at. Can Justin Fields make that next step as a rookie quarterback? We'll see what happens. Again, it's Bear Packer week. It's always exciting. It's a big rivalry. We'll see what happens there. We'll be back next week for week 7 of the Football Sunday Show. Again, for Jake, Matt, myself, Eric Jordan, Gothie, that pretty much does it here. Again, you can check out our podcast on rockrivercurrent.com. Don't forget to check it out. We also have a Twitter out there if you have any questions for fantasy, at FBSunday1330, or you can just search Football Sunday. We'll come up right there. Again, if you have any fantasy questions, go give us a follow. Ask us on there. Any questions you want to know, again, you can go on Twitter at FBSunday1330 or Football Sunday. Again, all our shows on rockrivercurrent.com. That does it for week 6 action of the Football Sunday Show.